Health Buzz with Dr. Jim Keeney at www.jim.md.
Dr. Jim here. Welcome. This week we're going to talk about CPR and defibrillators, those automatic defibrillators you can buy at Costco. I've seen them there, Walmart or other places like that. But first, let me tell you about our new sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by Aveeno Baby. Aveeno Baby offers a complete line of baby skincare products to cleanse and moisturize baby's delicate skin. Aveeno Baby products are specially formulated with natural oat to provide daily care for baby's skin and to soothe and relieve dry skin. Aveeno Baby and Health Buzz, a perfect combination for your baby. Interesting study this week in the New England Journal of Medicine. Turns out a call to 911 and a good understanding of how to do CPR are just as good as far as survival as having an at-home automatic defibrillator. Now, this is an important question because I can tell you where this was going. These defibrillators were approved by the FDA for over-the-counter sales, and I know the direction this was going to go is that people were going to want this to be covered by their insurance, and they'd want to get one of these things for free if they were at risk. Now, the question is, do they actually do any good? This is a $1,200 device, and that's just for the device. You know, you'll buy this thing, and then you find out, wait a second, there's something called consumables, and these are the items that you use and reuse, and you need to get a couple sets of those things, like the pads that you put on the person's skin. You know, those can cost hundreds of dollars for the pads, for replacement batteries when the batteries wear out. Now we're talking a lot of money. The study in the New England Journal, it's interesting for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's not often that they publish negative studies. When something doesn't work, that a lot of times gets buried. It doesn't get published. But this study must not have been paid for by the industry itself, because if it was paid for by the defibrillator industry to try and prove that they're helpful, I guarantee you this study would have been buried, just like so many other negative studies when they're funded by those companies. And again, a good reason why we need independent researchers, we need money to flow into universities and places that don't necessarily have the vested interest in the outcome. Anyway, this study in the New England Journal recently, this month, shows that if you have this device in your home, you are not any more likely to survive. You know, we call the chain of survival is the term that the American Heart Association uses for promoting response to cardiac arrest. And there's kind of four links to that. Number one is early access to emergency services by calling 911. So step one, call 911. Step two, early CPR. And that requires somebody nearby to be trained. And so that means that a lot of the public is going to have to go out there, take time out of their busy day and schedule and learn CPR. And at the end of this little talk, let's talk about how to do CPR because it's become so simple. I think I can teach you 90% of it right here. Although it's much better to get a hands-on course. Okay, step three, we did step one, 911. Step two, early CPR. Step three is early defibrillation. And then step four is advanced care by emergency services. Now, early defibrillation, they've thrown these things into these automatic defibrillators into fire trucks. Now they're required on airplanes, commercial air flights. They're in public areas like airports, all the way to casinos and schools, everything. They've replaced a lot of the fire extinguisher ports now with automatic defibrillators or AEDs. Well, there were studies that showed that those actually did help save lives. This particular study looked at 7,000 patients who agreed to participate. Half were given an AED at home, and the other half were given just CPR training, and they made sure they could call 911. The average person was followed for 3 years. Now, the results are quite interesting because you would think if early defibrillation is so key, and we know that it is in healthcare, it's interesting that it didn't seem to make much of a difference here. Because the problem is in healthcare, when we do early defibrillation by a firefighter, by a paramedic, or by an ER doctor, we have all the backups to be able to now put the person on a breathing machine, follow that up with the appropriate medications, correct other metabolic problems that might be the cause for the irregular heartbeat that's leading to death. Now, when you do this in public and you're in a private home, if you still have to wait for 911 and paramedics to arrive, then possibly it doesn't have any added benefit. Maybe we can save you $1,200 here. Now, we know, for example, CPR at least doubles and in some studies triples the victim's chance of surviving a cardiac arrest. And plus, once you learn CPR, it's portable. It doesn't need to be plugged in. You can take it anywhere. If you're in somebody's home, it works if you're in your car, it works if you're in a public place. This is the most important tool that you can obtain rather than focusing on technology like one of these automatic defibrillators. And the classes are a lot cheaper than $1,200. So let's talk about that. The American Heart Association this month came out with new guidelines regarding CPR. And guess what? They took the yuck factor out of it. No more mouth to mouth. That's most people's biggest reason, I think, in the back of their head is they didn't want to get trained for CPR. Well, number one, it takes time out of your day to learn this. But number two, I think most people were afraid if push comes to shove, you know, I can do the part of pushing on somebody's chest. But can I put my mouth on a stranger's mouth, especially if they're dying? And what if they're vomiting? So a lot of people, I think, were concerned, boy, I'm going to feel responsible now, and I'm going to watch somebody die knowing CPR but not willing to do it. I hate to say it, but I think that's in the back of most people's mind. So that yuck factor is gone. Now CPR is simple. Again, you walk up to the person. It's kind of that, Annie, are you all right? You shake them good and hard to make sure they're not sleeping, because I have had people come in. Their hearing aid is turned down, and they get CPR started on them because they're asleep, and they don't hear you coming. So make sure you check. Number one, check the person. Annie, are you all right? Yell it really loud. Shake them really good. If they don't wake up, you put your finger on their carotid pulse, which is in their neck. It's right alongside your windpipe. You can check it on yourself so you can learn how to check it on other people. If you feel a pulse there, you don't need to do CPR. If you don't feel a pulse and you got to hold for about 3 or 4 seconds, make sure that you're really checking for a long period of time to find out if there's a pulse. If there is no pulse, then you start CPR. You're going to put the heel of your hand, and usually it's your dominant hand. If you're right-handed, you put your right hand down, your heel of your hand down in the center of their sternum, which is that bone in the center of their chest, and you're going to depress the chest about 2.5 inches. Now, most people say, well, how do I know 2.5 inches? It's just really, really hard and really far. The most common mistakes I see when I teach people CPR, or even when I watch our techs doing CPR during a code blue, is that they don't push fast enough and they don't push deep enough. So you're going to push deep and hard, and you're going to do 100 beats a minute. That works out to be something like 1N, 2N, 3N, 4N. So you just take that pace and you keep going. Now you've called 911, you checked for a carotid pulse, you put your dominant hand in the right place in the center of the chest, you're using your non-dominant hand, your left hand for most people, and you're kind of pulling up your fingers so you're not smushing ribs, and you're using the heel to kind of push down the other heel of your hand and get a nice even up and down stroke. You don't want to push sideways, side to side. You want to go straight up and down. You're going to keep doing that at 100 beats a minute, so 1N, 2N, 3N, until help arrives or until you are completely exhausted. And again, that's why you want to remember, did you call 911 before you started? Because you don't want to start this process and realize 20 minutes later, hey, no help's coming. That's your CPR lesson for the day. Email me if you actually listen to this and you learn CPR and you're going to just say, I'm going to do it. I want to put up a running list of how many people are willing to do CPR. If you're already certified and this was just a good refresher for you, just send me an email at mail@jim.md and let me know. You know, even the doc needs a little encouragement now and then. So also sign up for my podcast. It's free. And it gets automatically downloaded to iTunes. Most of you out there do have iTunes. The ones who don't, you probably know how to place a podcast into your podcatcher. Go to my website, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the buttons for both iTunes and for other podcatchers. Be sure to sign up today. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.